I'm anticipating revival meeting. Are you looking forward to what God has for us? Roland Mitchell is one of a kind when it comes to preaching. Never heard him preach a bad one. One of those that always throws ringers. But it's going to be more than just him coming and preaching to us. If we keep doing what we've always done, we'll always get, it's a bad grammar to say it that way, but always get what we've always gotten. We'll just keep getting it. Like to see something more, something beyond the usual. An outpouring of His Spirit. Oh, I believe that Brother and Sister Mitchell can be major tools in God's hands. As a matter of fact, I expect God to use them. I'm expecting, I feel good about God using them. I want to be in the place that He can come. I've been talking about revival meeting, revival, prayer, God coming down. I want to talk to you for just a little bit this evening. I'm not going to be lengthy. I don't think I was very long this morning either. But I want to continue with this thought of prayer. Leonard Ravenhill said it this way, and just listen to what he had to say. What twisted ideas we get about prayer in our day. I don't know about you, but when I read that, something about that kind of got to me. What twisted ideas? He said, to many of us, prayer is just a shortcut to receiving a desired thing. In other words, we're using prayer, or people use prayer at times, as a fulcrum block. Rather than just a connection to the source, using it as a fulcrum block to leverage God. You know, depends on where you put that block or that pivot point. You can pick up an awful lot of weight. You can move something. That was one of the incredible things as we stood in Israel a couple of years ago and looked out over the devastation of the old temple area and some of the wall area, and looking at some of those mechanisms that they used to pick those huge, huge boulders up and put them in place. I mean, long before the big hydraulic cranes and diesel engines of our day, long before any of that was even thought of or dreamed of, they had their systems, huge boulders and rocks that they put into place. They used a form of a fulcrum where they would pivot and be able to pick those massive rocks up. You can pick up a great amount of weight if you have a strong enough board and the fulcrum, the pivot point, in the right place. Are we using prayer as the fulcrum block? Are we using prayer as the pivot point, trying to leverage God? Is prayer a means to get closer to God, or has it become for us a tool to leverage Him? You know, if I pray this much and fast this long and give up this activity, then I'm going to have God's favor and I'm going to have God's approval. if I can do this long enough, and if I can pray loud enough and shed enough tears, then I'm going to have God on my side here. He's going to be smiling at me here. That kind of praying develops a spiritual strut. You know, a swagger. A spiritual swagger. I'm really moving up the ladder here for God. Prayer should be a tool for us to get closer to God so that He can use us as a tool. Building a relationship with Him. You see, prayer is a two-way street. It's a two-way radio. Man talking to God and God talking to man. In Ravenhill's book, Revival Praying, he gives an illustration of a teenager that came to him one time and said, "Brother Ravenhill, I'm backslidden." He said, "Well, why do you think you're backslidden?" He said, "Because God no longer talks back to me." See, that teenager had learned that prayer is a two-way endeavor. Going both ways. Ravenhill would also tell us that if our prayers are dry, if we think that praying is dry, then the likelihood would be is that we're doing all the talking. Talking is the foundation upon which relationship is built. You've probably heard that before, maybe in different ways, different forms. But talking is the foundation upon which relationships are built. More sharing in the conversation, the deeper the relationship. The deeper the relationship, the closer the lives become. Meshing together. The breaking down of that sharing, or the breaking down of the talking, maybe the word that you're more accustomed to in this scenario or in this thought is the breaking down of communication, is a breakdown of a relationship. The breaking down of the relationship causes a distancing between the two and a cooling off of that relationship. Liken it to the marriage relationship or the dating relationship, the boy-girl relationship. If there's no communication, if there's no sharing of each other's lives, if there's no talking between the two of them, then there's not going to be a relationship. I mean a real relationship. They must have some sharing. There must be talking going on in order for that relationship to develop and that relationship to blossom, bloom. I could get carried away. Some of you have been at Bible school in years gone by. It's different now in the dating scenario at Bible schools than what it was when I was there. Maybe it was different when you were there too. The moment that two people looked at each other and said, "Oh, I'm interested in them," they got put on dating rules. And dating rules meant that you could have one dinner date, 30-minute dinner date a day, and maybe a 15-minute phone call, and perhaps if you were old enough to have a 4-hour date at the end of the week. And that was all the communicating you could do. No wonder people were jumping into engagement so quick and getting married so quick. It was because they weren't allowed to communicate. But what a poor foundation, not having had the opportunity to communicate. My wife and I got put on dating rules without our wishes, I guess you could say. We were just starting to get to know each other, just starting to think, Well, it was really that way on her part. Maybe he's not such a bad guy after all. It took a long time to get there. And suddenly we get put on dating rules. Nowadays you can text all day long and into the night. Back then, if you did anything, it was on paper. Everybody on campus wanted to be an assistant dean or a resident assistant so that you could have time in the dean's office. Because if you had time in the dean's office and your significant other was in the other dean's office, then you could communicate just a little bit more. So I was assistant dean in one dorm and she was an RA in another dorm. We scheduled our time in the, you know, just a way of doing things. On the up and up. All above board. There was a desire to communicate. And the desire to communicate, the need to communicate, is the need to develop a relationship that would be stronger. I don't know if it's beyond us to grasp this evening that as that communication breaks down, the relationship begins to break down. It didn't happen overnight, but it happens as communication breaks down. Let's carry all of that thought right into the spiritual sense of prayer. Talking back and forth to God. Can I get away with a 5-word sentence text off to God every day? Is that a relationship? Well, maybe it's a little bit longer. Maybe it's a paragraph of an email that I've sent off to God in the daytime. I'm in a hurry here. Am I building a relationship on this idea that I can get by with minimal, and yet in my physical life I understand that communication takes more than just a text or two a day. Spiritually, developing a relationship. Prayer. So the more I pray, the more I would want to pray because I'm getting closer to God. I'm developing a love relationship with God. I want to leave you with this. Dick Eastman. I believe it's a book, No Easy Road. I had this written down in my study and I just carried it over for tonight. I don't remember where I picked it up. He said it this way, we learn prayer's deepest depths in prayer. Did you get that? We learn prayer's deepest depths in prayer, not from books. We reach prayer's highest heights in prayer, not from sermons. The only place to learn prayer is in prayer, bent and broken on our knees. On our knees is figurative speech. But the prostration before God. Oh, I believe that books can lead us, sermons can help us, but the actuality of it is going to take place as we experience it in prayer, learning prayer's depths in prayer, prayer's highest heights in prayer. The only place to learn prayer is by praying. Is that why the disciples at one point asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray? Not teach us how, but Lord, teach us to pray. Developing, building a relationship where we can call on our Heavenly Father with passion with a hungry heart to feel His presence, to see Him move, God would be glorified. Not as a pivot point where I can strut, but to God be all the glory. Let's stand together this evening.